When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Back in studio. I don't know, what is today?
A Tuesday. Coming up on a Tuesday.
Yeah, a little throwback song for you old people out there. We're going to get into talking a little bit about rookie minicamp, just kind of, you know, some of the highlights or whatever coming out of rookie minicamp. Also, big news in the last day, Brown's going to open the season with the Cowboys coming into Cleveland. So we get a 2 years in a row, we get a home opener in week one, and also talk about the strength of schedule stuff being thrown around out there. The Browns have the toughest strength of schedule according to 2023 win percentages. So we're just going to talk a little bit about camp, a little bit about the early reaction to opening with the Cowboys and the toughness of the Browns' upcoming schedule. I believe the actual schedule releases tomorrow night, right?
8 p.m.
Yeah, yep. By the time this comes out, it will be tonight because this won't come out until Wednesday.
Okay, so we're talking to you guys in the future.
Yes.
We're in the past.
The schedule comes out soon.
Yes, but we're going to give you our reaction to at least the opener and just like the overall strength of schedule. Before we get into everything, though, remember, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Make sure you tap the notification bell so you don't miss any of the new content. We're trying to get to 10K subscribers before the start of football season. So if you're not subscribed, please do so. It helps us out a ton. Before I get too far, again, if you want to get voicemails on the show or intros on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com. Tap leave voicemail on the drop-down menu. You can also find the merch store on there. I'm wearing one of our new shirts right now. So a little self-promotion. Josh has got one on also. Justin does not.
I'm just official Cleveland Brown stuff.
So, if you're interested in some of our merch, or if you want to leave voicemails, head to our we actually have a pretty legit website that we never talk about. So go there and check it out. It's thedogspodcast.com. If you prefer to just listen to the show, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google. You can also find us on all the major social media platforms at The Dogs Podcast. And lastly, if you're looking for more dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on the Patreon page. You get access to the private Discord, an extra episode every week, fantasy football with us. Once football season rolls around, we got a bunch of leagues. There's a dynasty league. Just a lot of cool stuff going on in there for Browns fans all over the world. We've been talking a lot of Cavs lately in there because a lot of people are Cavs fans. And then in terms of like college football, we got people all over the country. So you got, I mean, there's not really any Pac-12 fans because they don't exist, but there's some Big Ten fans. There's a decent amount of SEC fans. So we get chirping back and forth about that. So it's a lot of fun. People all over the world that, you know, we like the Browns. And then we also like a lot of the same other stuff. A lot of cool people in there. So if you're interested in meeting people from all over the world, you want to hang out with us more often on a day-to-day basis, check out jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. So just kind of jumping into mini camp, rookie mini camp. Not a ton coming out. I would say maybe the biggest news was the quarterback signing.
I don't know if I would say the biggest news, but probably the most controversial between all the, you know, yahoos on social media. But the Browns did sign Jacob Sermon from, oh boy, I don't have it on here. I want to say it's Northern Colorado.
A lot of people are freaking out, and I saw his college stats, and they were not very good.
No, they're not very good. But, you know, I think he's a camp body. And we were talking before the show. I mean, all the reports that I've been reading so far, DTR, not a lock to be cleared for activity, you know, at the start of camp. So you're talking to Deshaun Watson, obviously coming off shoulder surgery, which means he's going to be eased into action. They're not going to be overdoing his reps. And then you've got DTR possibly not even ready to go at the start of camp. So you're not going into camp with just two quarterbacks to throw every single rep to all these receivers for the entire training camp. So you've got to have an extra arm or two. So
yeah, do people not understand that, you know, at the beginning of camp and OTAs, there's 100 guys on the team.
Yeah, isn't it 90? Is it 90 or 91?
I know it's slightly north of 90. Yeah, yeah. Like, dude, there's 40 guys that are going to be at camp that aren't going to be on the team.
Correct.
Okay. So like, it's not weird to sign a quarterback. I don't understand why everything has to be controversial with Browns fans. Like, every other team in the league signs people. The Falcons put a claim in for another quarterback.
Oh yeah, who was it?
I forget. Somebody off the Patriots, I believe. They put a claim in for somebody.
Nathan Rourke or Rourke, whatever. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or whatever his name. Rourke. Is it Nathan Rourke? Rourke. Yeah, I did see that.
This is what teams do. You sign people because this is how you find a diamond in the rough. You know, we're not expecting I can't remember his name.
Jacob Sherman.
We're not expecting, but what if he comes in and he's like awesome?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is how you find people. You scout, you find them, you put them on the team, you give them reps, and then you see what you got. Chances are he's not going to be on the team, but like, this is how, I mean, 30% of the league is undrafted.
Honestly, I mean, like you said, 40 of these guys aren't even going to make, they're going to get cut or practice squad.
Yeah.
So maybe we found a practice squad quarterback. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's just, I just don't understand why it's got to be a big deal.
I have
an
inclination that our practice squad quarterback is going to be DTR.
Mm.
It definitely seems that way.
How's that work, though? Like, with stuff like that, where they go to the practice squad, can't they be claimed?
I think you can
protect one. There's like certain protections or something you can use on.
I'd guess that.
I'd have to rehash the rules on that, but.
Which. And then speaking on camp, actually one thing I did read that I wanted to talk about, so I'm glad we decided to do this real quick. I'm gonna read this to you, kind of get your guys' thoughts, because I don't know if you guys saw it. Okay. Bear with me. It's a little long. It's from Mary Kay. One thing is certain about Ken Dorsey is the new Browns offensive coordinator. His fingerprints are all over the new offense, and Kevin Stefanski is letting him coach. Dorsey is implementing the drop-back concepts learned in part from his former Bills boss, Brian Daboll, which I think a lot of people have kind of forgot that he worked with Daboll, and Daboll is a well-respected, good offensive mind in this league. And the Browns offense will have shades of what Daboll ran in New England and what Daboll and Dorsey ran in Buffalo. It'll feature plenty of RPO and spread concepts and corresponding 3 and 4 receiver sets. It'll also feature the choice routes run by receivers such as Cole Beasley in Buffalo and Julian Edelman in New England. One reason Stefanski is letting Dorsey essentially run the show is because it's very similar to the offense that Deshaun Watson ran in Houston under Bill O'Brien, who learned it in New England. It's a version of the Earhart Perkins system, and Watson is very familiar with most of the concepts. It's one of the reasons Watson and Dorsey have hit it off so well, because they're speaking the same football language. Stefanski was hands-on during camp as usual, but is clearly letting Dorsey, who will also serve as de facto quarterbacks coach, assume more control of the offense. Will he turn play calling duties over to Dorsey? It remains to be seen, but he's more likely to do so than he was with AVP, with Van Pelt, now Patriots coordinator, as coordinator here from 2020 to 2023. The Browns were still running Stefanski's offense, and it made sense for him to call the plays. But with Dorsey more well-versed in some of the newer concepts, Stefanski might toss him the keys to the car. Again, it's still early, but something he'll at least strongly consider. The end. And that was from Mary Kay.
I actually did read that. Yeah.
So I found that I got excited by reading that. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy came in, I didn't even put together some of the connections in terms of Daboll and Bill O'Brien and stuff like that. In terms of like lingo and language and the concepts and stuff like that. Like, Daboll is a well-respected offensive coach. I mean, look what he did with, he got Danny Dimes paid. A guy yes, who a lot
I was going to bring that up, so I'm glad you said that.
You know what I mean? So, and we had already talked about what Dorsey had done with guys like Cam Newton and stuff like that. So the fact that Stefanski is letting him really get in there and kind of drive this thing, I still think Stefanski, I think he'll probably call plays, but depending on how it's going in the offseason and OTAs and camp, like, I'm almost – based off reading this, not going to be shocked if Ken Dorsey ends up being the one calling plays. I know a lot of people think Stefanski has this ego and it's got to be his way or the highway. I think Stefanski just wants to win, and I almost think he would welcome getting some of that off of his plate if he trusts somebody who can be better than him. I think the AVP didn't call plays because he knew I'm better at this than AVP.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean? Yep. Ken Dorsey is arguably going to be better at this offensive system calling plays than Kevin Stefanski will be, at least at the beginning. I mean, he's the one essentially designing it.
Yeah, he's putting the layout.
He's done it before.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm not going to be 100% shocked if we find out that Ken Dorsey is going to call plays.
2 or 3 months ago, I would have been extremely shocked. Like when this hiring happened, I was like, well, people were discussing it. They're like, do you think Kevin Stefanski will ever let him call plays? And I was like, not a chance. Not a chance. You know what I mean? But the more you hear about this, it is crazy. I think there is an opportunity. And like you said, I think it comes down to like winning and being successful and putting people in position to be successful. So if that means that Dorsey's calling plays, I wouldn't be shocked, but I still would be a little bit surprised. But it's kind of wild to hear that.
My favorite thing that I heard about it is how different the offense looks. Like we all said, with all these different offensive minds and Dorsey coming in, like we definitely think the offense is going to be way different when they're trending in this direction. But it's good to see that it's happening.
Right.
You know, it's not just us talking about it and hoping about it and kind of, you know, thinking like we think this is going to happen, but we don't know for sure. They had a camp and it's very obvious it's different.
Do you remember last year at training camp, how the reports started to come out that we're not seeing any signs of this rumored highly explosive Browns offense or anything like that? There was just nothing. It was like meh. Do you remember those reports?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And we were like, really? Because all the hype was about how this offense was going to change.
Air it out.
Explosion. Yeah, air it out. And then the season hit and it was like, oh yeah, okay, it is kind of just, I mean, it's not like it was a bad offense, but it just wasn't what we were being advertised. So to hear that already, the people going to the camp and watching the players and everything are seeing that, okay, this is noticeably different.
Yes. It's good to see because we need it.
Yeah,
we need it. We need it very badly. So I'm excited for that. I know I did see Jamari Thrash had a good camp from what I could tell, showed off the route running ability, all that good stuff. Michael Hall is a freak athlete. They're saying he is built and athletic enough, like he's going to get edge reps.
I think he will. I really do.
So I think Jim Schwartz is probably kind of like salivating it. The thought of what he can do with this guy in terms of his versatility on the defensive line. Like he can play multiple positions. So I'm excited for that. So I'm excited just to kind of like, let's get going now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like let's get to the real stuff.
For me, it was cool. I was just happy to see Browns players on the field in Browns gear. Mm-hmm. The new white face mask looked nice. And
the helmets too.
The helmets look sweet. I mean, it's just good. It's just a good feeling to see these guys back out on the field. Zach Zinner was another one. That was
a big one for me.
I mean, just, and they were talking like he looks good. You know, it's the first time he's been on a football field running drills, running reps since he broke his leg against Ohio State. So it's just good to see all of that.
So from some, one of the guys in the Discord was talking about how like he wasn't going to be able to play this year. And this was like from what I can tell and what I've heard, like, he can play football this year.
Well, I think he's
so it sounds go. Like,
you know what yeah, I mean? Like he's out there.
You know what I mean? Like maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't heard anything like that. He is going to be, he's sidelined for a year based on his injury. He seems A-okay to
running drills.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's good. I mean, that's to me, that's a late first round, early second round talent that we got late.
If there was questions about his availability for September, they would not already have him out there in May.
Correct.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So he's obviously okay.
Yeah. And I feel like we took him in the third.
Yep.
We would have taken him in the sixth if he, you know what I mean? Like if there's that much concern about his recovery from the injury, the round three pick is still pretty valuable.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I don't think the Browns would have taken somebody that early if there's tons and tons of concern about his availability and his recovery from the injury.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks.
Dog Pack, Memorial Day is almost here, and that means it's time to get fired up for grilling season. So sweep off your deck, throw back the grill cover, and fire up the mouth-watering flavor of Omaha Steaks when you go to omahasteaks.com/dogs and get 50% off site-wide with Omaha Steaks Memorial Day sale. That's 50% off everything Omaha Steaks has to offer, not just the steaks, which are absolutely incredible, but they've also got awesome Jumbo Franks, brats, chicken, seafood. They've got pork. They've got appetizers. I just ordered a bunch of meatballs and chicken wings for my freezer to get ready for grilling season. So head over to omahasteaks.com/dogs and see what they have to offer. This is a great opportunity to get a great deal on great food. omahasteaks.com/dogs, 50% off site-wide Memorial Day sale, and use promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out. You'll get an extra $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks isn't just steak, it's the best steak of your life, guaranteed. So load up on all the summer classics for half the price at omahasteaks.com/dogs, and don't forget to use our promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out, and get that extra $30 off your order. You got to hurry. The Memorial Day sale will be gone before you know it. That's omahasteaks.com/dogs, promo code DOGS, when you check out for an extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So we'll kind of transition then into talking about the strength of the schedule and the Browns home opener. We talked, I think it was last week, about how we kind of wanted a low-key 1 o'clock opener.
Against Denver.
The league kind of threw us a curveball. It's America's team coming into Cleveland at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
And Tom Brady's first game that he's ever going to call.
Yep.
So I'm actually kind of excited to hear Tom see how he does. It can't be worse than Romo.
Okay.
So I'm kind of excited for that. And I like this opener. I know I kind of wanted a low key, but really I just didn't want like the Ravens or the Steelers. I didn't want to open with a tough in division opponent. And I want to play those guys like once we've had time to iron some things out.
Yeah, sure.
The Cowboys, I think, are first of all, they won the division, you know, playoff team. They always win, you know, 10, 13, 11, 12 games, it seems. They got athletes on the field, but they're definitely a different team on the road.
Yes.
Our defense is a different team at home. So I think this is, if we can come out, we get them at home. If we can play them week one and we beat them, it's a solid win. I don't want to call them a tune-up because they got athletes everywhere, sure, pro bowlers. But I just think it's a good test without like putting us through the gauntlet in week one. You know what I mean?
They're probably, you would think most likely they're going to be a playoff team, right? At the end of you would think so.
Yes.
Just based on the resume that they put together the last few years. To me, I love it. Browns at home don't disappoint. So you look at last year, everybody talked up to that game that Cincinnati was coming in. They're the big bad brother of Ohio. They're going to kick the crap out of Cleveland. And then we put on a clinic. And so I'm super excited about this matchup. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be interesting fan-wise, because I'm sure Cowboy fans are probably going to try to flood the stadium. But I think Browns fans are going to show up week one. So I'm very excited.
What I like about it is
tickets are already crazy.
Crazy expensive.
We get all summer, all training camp, all preseason to really gear up for that game. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be very similar to how they were last year. They got the same kind of coaching staff, McCarthy. They're going to be running the same sort of offense, same quarterback, blah, blah, blah. The Browns have a whole new offense that they're going to be rolling out there. Now, there could be kinks on our end, but at least it's not like they can go back to the tape from last year and say, well, this is what they were doing in all these different situations, right? Because it's completely different now.
Is Did Dan Quinn leave or is he still there?
He's in, he is a head coach now.
That's what I thought.
At,
I couldn't remember.
I know. Why am I blanking
Where'd
on that
he go?
Too?
He's,
I mean, we have computers
or maybe not.
Yeah, we do. No,
didn't
he
take a head? Oh, didn't he go to Washington?
Yeah. Is he Washington? I wanted to say Washington.
Head coach of Washington?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Commanders.
I swear we watched.
Sorry for guys. The brain farts, guys. Yes.
I was having trouble there.
There was a lot of coaching changes this year, honestly.
So they're going to have a different defensive coordinator. And if you got, before Dan Quinn got there, their defense was, that was the year that we torched them.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Odell went off.
Yep. And Odell stuff had like, two or three touchdowns.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to the defense. I mean, Dan Quinn was kind of the glue for that team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So that's a big loss for them. I think it's good for us because, well, one, they lost their defensive coordinator. The side of the ball that we might be still trying to iron out some kinks is more than likely going to be the offensive side of the ball, mm-hmm. especially early in the season. Typically, it takes the offenses, it takes longer to get up to speed than the defenses. And we're bringing back basically the entire defense and our defensive coordinator. And
plus some guys.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think this is, I think it's like, I think it's a good matchup for us. And it's a good, it's a good barometer for where you're at early in the season.
I agree completely.
And that week one matchup is always like, that's when your team theoretically will be the healthiest it's going to be all year. So if you're going to take on the Dallas Cowboys, you know, a good defense, a good offense, I'd rather take the chance of doing it week one than week 13 when we're like, okay, we really need a win here or whatever the situation might be. We got these three linemen are out. What, you know how it goes.
And if we were playing them week one on the road, you know, I'd be like, man, this kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But getting their debt, there's no doubt they're a different team on the road. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So I don't want to say you're getting a watered down version, but you're not getting the home version of the Dallas Cowboys, and they are getting the home version of the Browns defense.
It's funny because these two teams, you go to Dallas and play this, you say the same exact thing in reverse.
Yes. Yes. So I know there's like zillions of Cowboys fans supposedly out there. Don't think I'm slighting you. I'm just saying things that I've seen Cowboys fans say when they're bitching about their team online. So I think it's an exciting first week matchup. You know, two teams
for sure.
Coming off playoff appearances. We get the 4 o'clock time slot. We get Tom Brady. And like there's going to be a lot of buzz about this game. It's exciting.
Yep.
More news then that kind of came out based on schedules. The Browns, and a lot of people freaking out about this, and I mean, I don't love it, but they have the 2024 strength of schedule. The Browns have the toughest strength of schedule based on 2023 win percentages. Mm-hmm. Their opponents won 55% of their games last year. The Ravens are second at essentially 54%. The Steelers are at 53%. So right. There's no, I mean, obviously the three of those teams are up there because we all played in the same division
mm-hmm.
and we exactly. all play each other twice. But what I will say about this, and I didn't get to do a ton of research. I was actually busy at work today, which was annoying. but this isn't necessarily a bad thing seems like it is because I went back first. The league turns itself over. Mm-hmm. Half the league turns over every year.
Yes.
Okay. So I went back and looked last year, the Browns had the 26th ranked strength of schedule entering the season. And we saw how that played out.
Right.
Like
with five quarterbacks.
Yes. At one point the Browns had played like 12 teams or something that were in the playoffs or leading, you know,
that's right.
And they played every division leader, you know, and they were supposed to have the 26th ranked schedule. They had a fourth place schedule last year. And it was 26 coming into the season. The Eagles had the toughest strength of schedule last year. And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they basically play a high school schedule the first month and a half of the season?
They won a lot of games.
You know what I mean? Like they didn't play anybody like over 500 for a while. It seemed like unless I'm misremembering, correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, but there's so much player movement in the NFL that using last year's win percentages to determine strength of schedule, it's basically a crapshoot.
We talked about it too. We feel like there's always one team that was a bottom feeder in their division that ends up coming up and making the playoffs. And then there's always a team that you would just be like, that's a shoe-in for a playoff spot that disappoints, whether it's because of injury and stuff like that. Like if you look at the opponents, there's some heavy hitters on there. Like you've at home for our home games, I'm seeing Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, Dolphins, Ravens, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. There's some heavy hitters there. There's so just some say good
everybody
teams.
But the Giants.
Correct. Everybody but the Giants. And then even the away games, Philly's there. I mean,
actually, we're kind of making out okay. Now I'm just glancing over here at if we're going to play worse away from Cleveland, this is actually okay because we get to go play Denver and Las Vegas, and Washington,
Saints,
Jacksonville, the Saints. Yeah, actually, the Bengals, we always beat them. So kind of nice.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to pull up all of our opponents. So I'm pretty sure it's statistically accurate that half of the playoff teams 1 year don't make the playoffs the next year. So you have to think that all these the heavy hitters you're saying, half of them are not going to be heavy hitters this year, at least statistically and historically speaking.
Right.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like on paper right now, we think, holy crap, this is tough. But last year, we thought, holy crap, this Bears game is going to be a shoe-in. And then by the time we played them, they had, you know, had turned into one of the best defenses in the league, you know, the last month and a half of the season. And
we did outscore them 17-3. I mean, legitimately, but I get what you're saying.
That's fair.
I mean, but it wasn't a cakewalk. We didn't look that good.
No, that's because our offense was,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, who else did we play last year? That was Denver.
Mm-hmm.
We played them in the middle of their 5-game win streak. They
punched us in the mouth.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So there's so
we were
much
pumped for that game early on.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, like, if I'm looking at these teams that I think have the potential to fall off this year. I would think, I mean, New York is probably not going to be very good. You wouldn't think.
Right.
I could see the Dolphins potential. I mean, you don't want to think so, but every year they start hot.
What if we play them in December?
Yeah.
In Cleveland. You know I mean, it's in Cleveland.
You got to think Denver is going to be cheeks.
You would think so, but
Look at just based on their quarterback room, I just don't understand how they're going to be good. I don't imagine Washington's going to be very good this year. I don't think it's crazy to think that Philly falls off this year.
That's fair.
They kind of fell off last year.
Yeah.
Started to.
You know what I mean? Like they're definitely missing Ben Johnson. So they got some work to do. I wouldn't be shocked like a team like the Jaguars, you know what I mean? Like they faltered way. Like there's teams on here that, I mean, statistically speaking, we could fall off. We could be one of these teams that made the playoffs.
We're healthy. I think that we said it last year. We can go toe to toe with anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think so, but statistics and history are on our side.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? So like there's other local podcasts. There's a Kansas City Chiefs podcast out there going, oh, the Browns are going to be one of those teams that fall off this year. Then yep. You know what I mean? So
and we got to play the Browns. And so just go ahead and mark that one in the win column.
So, I would love it if we just knew that we're going to have a cakewalk schedule, but it's the NFL. There isn't really a such thing as a cakewalk schedule most of the time.
Right.
Sometimes you'll get like the Eagles, their Super Bowl year. I think their first like 10 opponents were under 500 or something crazy. Like sometimes you might get lucky. But for the most part, like there's going to be a part of your season where you're going through a gauntlet.
Yeah. And let's just see what the schedule, how it plays out, because some of these games that we're like maybe nervous about, or we think maybe could be an easy win or loss. If you've got to play Kansas City, Baltimore, Miami, and then like let's say the Chargers and then Philly, like all 5 weeks in a row, that's a gauntlet. That could be rough. You know what right. I mean? Even
who do the Chargers have right now though?
I mean, I think everything all the optimism for them is around Jim Harbaugh, the defense and the ground and pound game that they're going to start.
I get that, but I guess what's kind of been their identity the last years or so has been like the explosive offense with Justin Herbert. And they don't have anybody to throw to.
No, it's going to be completely different.
They got Ladd McConkey, but I mean, he's a rookie. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they don't have, I mean, they're, who's
it's,
their number one
it's
now?
Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman. We know what offense is going to look like out there.
Joshua Palmer. I mean, he's been like,
I mean,
moments.
They arguably have one of the worst wide receiver rooms in football.
Look at Baltimore's.
No, I'd say one of the worst.
One of the worst.
Yes.
I mean, the Josh Palmer's got to be their one. Their number two now is probably going to be
Quentin Johnson?
Quentin Johnson.
He sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Conky.
So there's a lot of, and I think Jim Harbaugh is a good coach.
Yeah.
And if he might be able to turn it around in a year, we'll see. But I mean, sometimes it takes more than one year.
It could be shaky. And I'm same with like the Jags.
Especially if we play them early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to run the hell out of the ball.
It'll be interesting to see what, and by the time you guys are watching or listening to this, maybe the schedule's already out or it's just a couple hours till it comes out. But we'll give you our reactions to that too when it comes out.
Do you think they run the ball? Like, are they going to be a 70-30? I mean, you have Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I think they're still going to throw. It'll be.
Yeah.
Dude, 50-50 right now in the NFL is run heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. There's some interesting opponents. I do like what you guys said. If we're going to play the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Chargers, and the Dolphins, at least we get to play all those guys at home.
At home, yes.
You know what I mean? Our road games are Denver, Washington, Vegas.
Rookie quarterback.
The Saints, you know what I mean? So we caught a couple breaks in terms of home and away opponents. It might be statistically tough right now, but I think we caught a break in that regard. We'll go ahead and wrap this thing up because we have to get ready. Are we announcing it?
Yeah, you can tell what's going on.
We are about to hang up this episode and prepare to interview most recent Browns tight end signee
Trayton Welch.
Can we edit that out? Jesus.
Listen, I knew it was Trayton. I said it was a busy, rough day at work.
Every time I wrote his name in the notes for us, it kept changing it to Trenton. I'm like, stupid autocorrect.
Mm-hmm. Yes. See, so it's not 100% my fault. I knew who you were. I swear, I promise. I've been looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be interviewing him. He agreed to come on to the show, give us some of his time, tell us about how rookie minicamp went and all that good stuff. So if you guys enjoyed our Aiden Robbins interview, I think you'll enjoy this one coming up. So make sure you guys check it out. I think it's going to come out on Sunday. So make sure you guys check that out. We appreciate you guys being here, tuning in. Let us know what you guys think of the schedule opening with Dallas. And I'm sure we'll be getting your feedback when we do a full schedule breakdown in the next couple of days. So we appreciate you guys being here. And until then, we'll see you guys maybe live next week or something.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $1.99 a pound. Then during the 99 cents produce sale, Cosmic Crisp apples and Roma tomatoes are just 99 cents a pound, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.